This is CKLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Centre in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
CKLN listeners. It is Monday, August 30th, 2010. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening here on 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. And yeah, we are listening to Exodus by Bob Marley right now. And I had to tell you something here. We don't need an exodus. We don't need to leave this great country of Canada. We don't need to leave wherever we live. But we do need to handle some of the issues that are going on out there. And we know this, you know, many of us know this. And if we don't know this, well, you know, we're getting hipper and hipper to it as more and more things are revealed to us. but here on today's show, I'd like to talk about a familiar theme, mind control. Why we don't react to these things, and what the habit of not reacting to these things produces, a form of helplessness or a form of justifiable corruption, and it destroys our moral consistency, because we do get things to you know, go off on. Yeah, I just saw the you know, I'm running. Pink wigged, you know, breast cancer, CIBC Run for the Cure breast cancer posters. And it's got they use celebrities, and they got this actress, and they use a woman there, and she's like a senior, and she's got a pink wig, and the run's on October 3rd, and she's saying, I'm running. And you're like, oh my goodness, if this older woman can run, then certainly I can run to help fight breast cancer. The problem is that, of course, you're not running to help fight breast cancer. You're running to normalize the idea of us getting cancer, and to further increase, you know, drug company sales, and also normalize and humanize the idea of banks. I mean, if you look at any serious researcher into activism, you know, understands the role of the banking system. Now, unfortunately, there are many not serious researchers, and a lot of activism deliberately ignores the banking system. But again, we got to decide what we want to do and what kind of people we want to be here. And so they're going to give us stuff to feel indignant about, that we and to participate in that we think is going to be good. And yet, you know, all you got to do is look at the history of big cancer and all the companies working on making money for cancer. And you realize that for the last 50, 60, 70 years, it's been the most profitable charity in history. And yet you'll get people that will obstinately defend that and defend forms of activism where they call each other out for what they say. And essentially become arms of the government and big corporations trying to ban free speech by just snitching on each other. And yet, you know, if they attack you for saying something that they perceive as racist or sexist or homophobic or whatever, you don't necessarily see them trying to help those people in any other way. It's all about the power, and that leads to them becoming snitches, informers in the neo-communist system that's being set up, because that's what they're going to do. They're going to look for people that like petty power, that don't mind attacking other groups within the population, and that can be recruited to basically spy on and snitch on their neighbors and be given sort of petty positions as local apparatchiks in our neo-communist Canada bureaucracy. And there's a clip I want to play by this guy. Is it loaded yet? Nah, I better wait till it loads. Otherwise, it might not. Yeah, it could be problems. but there's a clip I want to play here, which talks about the about the Soviet subversion of the West that began since the 1950s. When they realized that they couldn't take America with force, but they could certainly do it through subversion, and you can see what's happening now with respect to this. So, you can try and read my lyrics off of this paper before I lay them, but you won't take the sting out these words before I say them, cause ain't no way I'm gonna let you stop me from causing mayhem. When I say I'm gonna do something, I do it. I don't give a damn what you think. I'm doing this for me, so the world feed it beans. It's gassed up, if it thinks it's stopping me, I'ma be what I set out to be. Without a doubt, undoubtedly. And all those who look down on me, I'm tearing down your balcony. No way fans of us, don't try to ask him why. And so what you know, why do I start off the show you know, with mind control and talking about this? Is because this is there are people that know, you know, what the impact of certain changes to our behavior or environment will have on us because of previous examples throughout history. And so they know, you know, how to get us fighting about wedge issues and about race and about sex and about gender without actually looking for the truth about who's fighting. And they get us choosing either the left-wing liars or the right-wing liars, and then defending those positions at the expense of the truth. And they can corrupt us that way. Because, you know, you can be a lefty who's hardcore anti-war. You don't like seeing innocent people being killed. You don't like seeing, being wounded, being displaced. You don't like seeing, you know, your own young men and women being thrown into meat grinders. You don't like seeing big corporations, you know, steal stuff from other countries and use the youth of our countries to carry that out. And you don't like the police state at home, the surveillance that's going on here and so on. Really a corporate banker state, but, you know, for the sake of understanding, you could be a hardcore left, you could be against all of that. But then they put Obama in, and you're like, well, you know, it's not that bad. You know, it's really bad when a Republican does this, you know, a Republican white guy does this or whatever. It's really bad. But if it's got the sanction of this vehicle, and if it's just better than the other guy, not good, but better than the other guy, then it forces us to accept these lower expectations and then suffer for it. And again, this is all part of a plan here. And so how do they weaken us? What is the mind control operation? The mind control operation is, instead of getting us to feel an organic sense of power, much like our consumerist society, they get us feeling a cheap sense of power that ultimately weakens us. So they teach us to you want kids? You know, I hate kids. You know what I mean? They'll teach us to say things like that. And if you say that, then it weakens your moral character. And if it weakens your moral character, it makes you more paranoid. It makes people less, you know, like you less. It makes you like yourself less, and so on and so forth. And why is that important? Because if you get weak, then it's easier for the state to control you. And so it's the same thing in hip-hop, all this, you know, treat women badly, all this sort of thing. And women out there, all this, I just want to be a model. I want to pose in a hip-hop video all about women being treated badly, and I want to be like the star of that. It's all designed to progressively weaken us so that we can be more easily controlled by the state, and so that we'll snitch on each other easier. But I'm going to go into the details on this. These are just some frameworks out there, because I like to reinforce these. But I'm going to go to this interview with Soviet defector Yuri Alexandrovich Bezmenov, interviewed by G. Edward Griffin.
Yuri Alexandrovich Bezmenov.
In 1983.
Mr. Bezmenov was born in 1939.
It's kind of a
in
highlight.
Suburb of Moscow. He was
Give
the
you
son
an idea.
Of a high-ranking Soviet Army officer.
Of what the KGB
He was educated in the elite schools inside the Soviet Union and became an expert in Indian culture and Indian languages. He had an outstanding career with Novosti, which was the, and still is, I should say, the press arm or the press agency of the Soviet Union. It turns out that this is also a front for the KGB. He escaped to the West in 1970 after becoming totally disgusted with the Soviet system, and he did this at great risk to his life. He certainly is one of the world's outstanding experts on the subject of Soviet propaganda and disinformation and active measures. When the Soviets use the phrase ideological subversion, what do they mean by it?
Ideological subversion is the process which is legitimate, overt, and open. You can see it with your own eyes. All you have to do, all American mass media has to do, is to unplug their bananas from their ears, open up their eyes, and they can see it. There is no mystery. There is nothing to do with espionage. I know that espionage intelligence gathering looks more romantic. It sells more deodorants through the advertising, probably. That's why your Hollywood producers are so crazy about James Bond type of thrillers. But in reality, the main emphasis of the KGB is not in the area of intelligence at all. According to my opinion, and opinion of many defectors of my caliber, only about 15% of time, money, and manpower is spent on espionage as such. The other 85% is a slow process which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, aktivnye meroприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. Most of the activity of that department was to compile huge amount, volume of information on individuals who were instrumental in creating public opinion. Publishers, editors, journalists, actors, educationalists, professors of political science, members of parliament, representatives of business circles. Most of these people were divided roughly into groups. Those who would toe the Soviet foreign policy, they would be promoted to the positions of power through media and public opinion manipulation. Those who refused the Soviet influence in their own country would be character assassinated or executed physically come revolution. Same way as in the small town of Hue in South Vietnam, several thousands of Vietnamese were executed in one night when the city was captured by Viet Cong for only 2 days. An American CIA could never figure out how could possibly communists know each individual where he lives, where to get him, and would be arrested in one night, basically in some 4 hours before dawn, put on a van, taken out of the city limits and shot. The answer is very simple. Long before communists occupied the city, there was extensive network of informers, local Vietnamese citizens, who knew absolutely everything about people who are instrumental in public opinion, including barbers and taxi drivers. Everyone who was sympathetic to the United States was executed. Same thing was done under the guidance of the Soviet embassy in Hanoi, and same thing I was doing in New Delhi. To my horror, I discovered that in the files where people were doomed to execution, there were names of pro-Soviet journalists with whom I was personally friendly.
Pro-Soviet?
Yes. They were idealistically minded leftists who made several visits to USSR. And yet, the KGB decided that come revolution or drastic changes in political structure of India, they will have to go.
Why is that?
Because they know too much. Simply because, you see, the useful idiots, the leftists who are idealistically believing in the beauty of Soviet socialist or communist or whatever system, when they get disillusioned, they become the worst enemies. That's why my KGB instructors specifically made a point, never bother with leftists. Forget about these political prostitutes. Aim higher. This was my instruction. Try to get into large circulation, established conservative media, rich, filthy rich movie makers, intellectuals, so-called academic circles, cynical, egocentric people who can look into your eyes with angelic expression and tell you a lie. These are the most recruitable people, people who lack moral principles, who are either too greedy or too suffer from self-importance. They feel that they matter a lot. These are the people who KGB wanted very much to recruit.
But to eliminate the others, to execute the others, don't they serve some purpose? Wouldn't they be the ones
you
rely on?
They serve purpose only at the stage of destabilization of a nation. For example, your leftists in the United States, all these professors and all these beautiful civil rights defenders, they are instrumental in the process of the subversion only to destabilize a nation. When their job is completed, they are not needed anymore. They know too much. some of them, when they get disillusioned, when they see that Marxist-Leninists has come to power, obviously they get offended. They think that they will come to power. That will never happen, of course. They will be lined up against the wall and shot. But they may turn into the most bitter enemies of Marxist-Leninists when they come to power. And that's what happened in Nicaragua. You remember most of these former Marxist-Leninists were either put to prison or one of them split, and now he's working against Sandinistas. It happened in Grenada when Maurice Bishop was already a Marxist. He was executed by a new Marxist who was more Marxist than this Marxist. Same happened in Afghanistan when first there was Taraki, he was killed by Amin, then Amin was killed by Babrak Karmal with the help of KGB. Same happened in Bangladesh when Mujibur Rahman, very pro-Soviet leftist, was assassinated by his own Marxist-Leninist military comrades. It's the same pattern everywhere. The moment they serve their purpose, all the useful idiots are used either be executed entirely, all the idealistically minded Marxists, or exiled or put in prisons, like in Cuba. Many former Marxists are in Cuba, in prison. So basically America is stuck with demoralization, and unless, even if you start right now, here, this minute, you start educating new generation of Americans, it will still take you 15 to 20 years to turn the tide of ideological perception of reality back to normalcy and patriotism. The result you can see, most of the people who graduated in the 60s, dropouts or half-baked intellectuals, are now occupying the positions of power in the government, civil service, business, mass media, educational system. You are stuck with them. You cannot get rid of them. They are contaminated. They are programmed to think and react to certain stimuli in a certain pattern. You cannot change their mind, even if you expose them to authentic information, even if you prove that white is white and black is black, you still cannot change the basic perception and the logic of behavior. In other words, these people, the process of demoralization is complete and irreversible. To get rid society of these people, you need another 20 or 15 years to educate a new generation of patriotically minded and common sense people who would be acting in favor and in the interests of the United States society.
And yet these people who've been programmed and, as you say, in place, and yes, who are favorable to an opening with the Soviet concept, mm-hmm, these are the very people who would be marked for extermination in this country?
Most of them, yes. Mm-hmm. Simply because the psychological shock when they will see in future what the beautiful society of equality and social justice means in practice, obviously they will revolt. They will be very unhappy, frustrated people. And the Marxist-Leninist regime does not tolerate these people. They will join the links of dissenters, mm-hmm, dissidents. Yes. Unlike in present United States, there will be no place for dissent in future Marxist-Leninist America. Here you can get popular like Daniel Ellsberg and filthy rich like Jane Fonda for being dissident, for criticizing your Pentagon. In future, these people will be simply squashed like cockroaches. Nobody is going to pay them nothing for their beautiful, noble ideas of equality. This they don't understand, and it will be the greatest shock for them, of course. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's overfulfilled, because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it until he is going to receive a kick in his fat bottom. when a military boot crashes his, then he will understand, but not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization. So the next stage is destabilization. This time, subverter does not care about your ideas and the patterns of your consumption. Whether you eat junk food and get fat and flabby, it doesn't matter anymore. This time, and it takes only from 2 to 5 years to destabilize a nation, it's what matters is essentials: economy, foreign relations, defense systems. And you can see it quite clearly that in some areas, in such sensitive areas as defense and economy, the influence of Marxist-Leninist ideas in the United States is absolutely fantastic. I could never believe it 14 years ago when I landed in this part of the world that the process will go that fast. The next stage, of course, is crisis. It may take only up to 6 weeks to bring a country to the verge of crisis. You can see it in Central America now. And after crisis, with a violent change of power structure and economy, you have so-called the period of normalization. It may last indefinitely. Normalization is a cynical expression borrowed from Soviet propaganda. When the Soviet tanks moved into Czechoslovakia in 68, Comrade Brezhnev said, "Now the situation in brotherly Czechoslovakia is normalized." This is what will happen in the United States if you allow all these schmucks to bring the country to crisis, to promise people all kind of goodies and the paradise on earth, to destabilize your economy, to eliminate the principle of free market competition, and to put a big brother government in Washington, D.C., with benevolent dictators like Walter Mondale, who will promise lots of things, never mind whether the promises are fulfillable or not. He will go to Moscow to kiss the bottoms of new generation of Soviet assassins, never mind. He will create false illusions that the situation is under control. Situation is not under control. Situation is disgustingly out of control. Most of the American politicians, media, and educational system trains another generation of people who think they are living at a peacetime. False. The United States is in a state of war, undeclared total war, against the basic principles and the foundations of this system. And the initiator of this war is not Comrade Andropov, of course. It's the system, however ridiculous it may sound, the world communist system, or the world communist conspiracy. Whether I scare some people or not, I don't give a hoot. If you are not scared by now, nothing can scare you. But you don't have to be paranoid about it. What actually happens now, that unlike myself, you have literally several years to live on unless the United States wake up. The time bomb is ticking. That every second the disaster is coming closer and closer. Unlike myself, you will have nowhere to defect to unless you want to live in Antarctica with penguins. This is it. This is the last country of freedom and possibility.
Okay, so what do we do? What is your recommendation to the American people?
Well, the immediate thing that comes to my mind is, of course, there must be a very strong national effort to educate people in the spirit of real patriotism, number one. Number two, to explain them the real danger of socialist, communist, whatever, welfare state, big brother government. If people will fail to grasp the impending danger of that development, nothing ever can help United States. You may kiss goodbye to your freedom, including freedoms to homosexuals, to prison inmates. All this freedom will vanish, evaporate in 5 seconds, including your precious lives. The second thing, the moment at least part of the United States population is convinced that the danger is real, they have to force their government. And I'm not talking about sending letters, signing petitions, and all this beautiful, noble activity. I am talking about forcing United States government to stop aiding communism.
Oh.
We living in the 21st century. They doing something mean to it. Who are they? Who are you if you don't know what they been doing? What they want, what they done. Now see what we doing. The power's in your hands. Too many done seen through it. No one man should have all that power. If you a man, stop wasting hours. Stop flipping, start tripping off the power. Chill out and move. This world ours. Struggle in your mind. Mine is true. Find proof. What you doing?
And we're
is
back, CKLN listeners.
No, not me.
This is kind of like a bed track for a remake of the Kanye West song Power. I got to re-record it and put it down a little harder because I'm just trying to feel out the way to say these things best. But you heard comrade Yuri Bezmenov interviewed by G. Edward Griffin back in 1983. About the communist infiltration of the West and how they're fundamentally attacking our values and who we are as individuals. And so, you know, well, so cool that they can rob, castrate, and kill us, I guess. But you heard what Comrade Brezhmanov said, that we have to educate people about, you know, the dangers of big government. Because what we're getting right now is we're getting bigger and bigger government all the time. And what ends up happening in socialist systems is all these departments of the government and all these activist organizations out there and so on, they depend on problems to fund them. That's how they grow. You know, if you're a youth center with 100 kids, the only way you're going to make money is if you're a youth center with 1,000 kids. And so that ends up being what happens. Homelessness, you know, everything. All of our problems are exacerbated by this system because it's designed to do that. It's designed to institutionalize and make permanent the problems that a society has that are created through this process. And so you can see that happening today here in communist Canada, even though a lot of this is about America. Comrade Bezmenov, Yuri Bezmenov, a.k.a. Thomas Schumann, was what he was known as before.
The queen owns everything.
And the queen and her New World Order, a.k.a. globalization, acolytes and allies are going for a form of world communism where they tell all of us to use less and they consolidate all their power and all their wealth and control and steal all our property.
Alarm clocked on the 25th hour.
And so, you know, we're getting to a stage where between now, the next year and a half or so, now in 2012, things are supposed to get crazy. And you can look at the regular media, you know, breaking down all sorts of like horrible, crazy things that are going on, and then feeding us candy on the other side, and leaving us thinking that we're powerless to do anything about this. And that's how they do it. And so hopefully that clip was informative. Got another one I want to play about communism from Psyche Truth, youtube.com/PsycheTruth, talking about the problems of communism and what their sort of 48 goals were, as written up by Cleon Skousen in a book called The Naked Communist back in 1960, and then after a bit of a hubbub, as read in front of Congress in 1963. Where they, there was still enough good politicians at the time to want to investigate Mr. Skousen's work, and that's something that we can take with us to battle this process in terms of educating each other. It's got to be done. We got to pass on videos, got to pass on web links, and so on. But most importantly, we got to pass on information that we're given to someone that we think can help them. So I definitely recommend naturalnews.com out there for that, just because. Or some selections from that. If you have someone who's thinking of running for the CIBC, you know, breast cancer run, then send them an article. You know, Google breast cancer and naturalnews.com, and then you'll be able to see or show them another option that they can consider when it comes to understanding the problem of breast cancer and the best ways to dealing with it. Because ultimately, you know, that's. Helping each other clarify what's going on today, is going to determine how well we do as this system goes increasingly more fascist and more specifically communist. When it comes to explaining things to each other, as I started off the beginning of the show saying, we are going to be given ways to attack each other based on stereotypes and based on information that we think should be the only information allowed. I'll give you an example. I'm at my man's house the other day, and his woman's there, and she's absolutely lovely, and so is he. But the point is that I bring up my interview from last Monday with Dr. Henry Macko, and talk about gender roles again, and how, you know, a lot of couples are happier with a strong dude kind of leading, and a woman supporting that, and then the man saying, "Wow, thanks, honey. I'll be there for you. I'll be down to ride, and I'll give you all the security you need and all the love you need, and then you can feel 100%, and then, you know, you can fulfill your goals." Because it's hard if you're not feeling 100%. It's hard if you're not feeling like, you know, you're like comfortable, you're secure, you know, you're valued. You know, it's a lot harder to maximize your potential. And so the New World Order tends to seed our culture with a lot of anti-human ideas and a lot of ideas designed to weaken us. So I bring that up, and she's talking about, you know, because she's raised on a traditional sort of modern, you know, liberal education. Nothing against liberals personally. It's just look at the history of a lot of these ideas, and you'll realize why they're introduced. Because it's not about disempowering. The opposite of that position is not about disempowering women. It's about finding the best ways that men and women work together when a lot of the ideas promoted haven't resulted in us working together and getting along better. So then you got to figure, okay, well, maybe it's good to have other ideas out there in the marketplace of ideas. But, and I asked her, because she was taking offense at what I was saying, where I was just amused at what she was saying. I was like, oh, this is interesting. Because I was confident in my position, and she was trained through her position to think that my position should be seen as offensive. So I asked her point blank. I said, I just want to ask you a question. Should the opinion that I'm offering as a choice out there to men and women and others in relationships with respect to, you know, how we work best when it comes to not disempowering each other, empowering each other, and helping each other reach our potential, both together as a couple and also, you know, individually, you know, in different pursuits here on planet Earth. So I said, should the opinion that I'm you know, sharing be allowed on planet Earth anymore, or do we think of something better, and we should just get rid of this one? And she had to think about that for a second. She said, well, you know, it should be allowed, but I still think it's wrong. And I was like, all right, fair enough. So that's a more reasonable position than the one that's advocated by people who are pushing, you know, whether they know it or not, for the same goals as the government and big corporations when it comes to censorship, by promoting hate speech laws against free speech. Because nobody wants hate, and certainly, you know, anything that advocates violence against a group of people or whatever, you know, for whatever reason, you know, should be prosecuted, you know, using the law, you know, as a threat, as a genuine threat. If I did that here on the radio, then I should be prosecuted, you know, for putting out information, not information, for putting out suggestions that I want people threatened. So this has nothing to do with that. But what hate speech laws are used to do is they're used to rewrite history and to take ideas that question the establishment and threaten them. And it's a slow process. You know, initially it'll start for some, you know, halfway decent reason, and it'll be a violation of free speech. But the example they'll use will be something that's so traumatically graphic in our minds, like somebody was killed because of something somebody said, or somebody was, you know, killed by somebody who said these things. And so those laws will be used. But then they'll extend to those things themselves, and then the list of those things will expand. And that's, again, all under the politically correct neo-communist system here in what I like to affectionately call Communist Canada, because this is how they do it. And they do it by making it polite. China did the same thing. Back in the day in China, you know, the government used to have to find a woman who had a second child when she wasn't allowed to. And sometimes the community would raise them and someone else pretended it was their kid and you know, so on. But through this process of you know, social indoctrination, they actually convinced the Chinese people to flip each other. So you'd actually call in your neighbor if they had a baby. And this isn't all of them, and this isn't this and that, and this isn't all their fault, obviously. You know, they're under this system. But because we have enough evidence to see these things going on, you know, we should realize that they'll get worse if we don't take action on this. And on that note, I'd like to, I'm here on the Canadian Breast Cancer Foundation website at cbcf.org. I'm going to go into the English section here and let's see how they, you know, how they look at this. All right. It says here, show your support for the Canadian Breast Cancer Foundation, CIBC Run for the Cure. Join hands now. And it's a nice white and pink website. It says here, each year, thousands of Canadians are touched by breast cancer. It not only impacts the individuals living with the disease, but their families, friends, and loved ones as well. At the Canadian Breast Cancer Foundation, we are working to create a future without breast cancer with the support of thousands of volunteers, the generosity of donors, and over 70 corporate partners. We are funding some of the most relevant breast cancer research programs in the country. And here's the 2010 Canadian Breast Cancer Statistics announced. It says here, breast cancer diagnosis and treatment has come a long way since the Canadian Breast Cancer Foundation was founded in 1986. However, there's still work to be done. Stats recently released report breast cancer continues to be the most frequently diagnosed cancer among Canadian women and rates second for mortality. On average, 445 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer every week, an increase of 9 women per week from 2009. And that's so 9 times 50 weeks. So that's an extra 450 women a year are getting this on top of the, I guess, 400 times 50, a couple of thousand a year, 2,500 a year. It says here, 6,600 breast cancer cases are diagnosed in women who are 70 years or older. 5,800 breast cancer diagnosed in women 60 to 69, 6,000 50 to 59, 3,500 40 to 49, and 950 in women under the age of 40. Now, I got to tell you something. I'm gonna do something right now here. Something that any woman who's over the age of 40, where you're apparently most likely to get this, can do. I'm Googling natural news and breast cancer. And you can use any search engine you want, you know, preferably a good one. But, all right. So, and it says here, feature articles on breast cancer from Natural News. And some of the headlines include, scientists discover that radiation causes breast cancer. And in brackets, gee, really? And so, the thesis is that mammograms themselves and other forms of radiation do cause breast cancer, including radiation from your microwave, including radiation if you work at a dental office as a dental assistant or a dentist and use x-rays, or at an airport, you know, with the same, and so on. And it says here, even a low-dose vitamin D pill cuts breast cancer risk by 24%. And then it says, FDA questions effectiveness of breast cancer drug. Now, the drug came out. There it is. UK breast cancer rates 4 times higher than in Eastern Africa. Talking about how, you know, what's going on here? And we have supposedly better nutrition, better technology, better lifestyles. What's up with this? Broccoli and Brussels sprouts stop the spread of breast and other cancers. There you go. Don't even buy anything from Natural News for any of these. Just shop better at the grocery store. Add a little olive oil and help fight breast cancer naturally. Olive oil is breast cancer fighter and more. Fish oil reduces risk of breast cancer. HIV vaccines cause 50% in case in HIV tests. I guess that has something to do with breast cancer there. Antidepressant drug linked to increase in breast cancer deaths. And the American Cancer Society runs with the money and away from the cure, part 6. A 6-part series on that. So if a woman was to find that out, if she was to find that out, and then she was to compare it to the information she got from the Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce and Canadian breast cancer organizations, then she would realize that they don't mention any of this. Now, they could Google natural news and breast cancer, and they could be like, holy crap. And then they could read some of the articles, like, you know, scientists discover breast cancer, radiation causes breast cancer. And they could realize that this isn't just somebody making it up. It says here at the start of the article by David Gutierrez, staff writer at naturalnews.com, girls who undergo chest radiation as cancer treatment are significantly more likely to develop breast cancer as little as 8 years later, according to a study conducted by researchers from Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York and published in the Annals of Internal Medicine. Quote, risk in women treated before puberty is not lower than those treated during adolescence, as suggested by some early studies. The researchers reviewed the results of 12 prior studies that had looked at breast cancer risk in female survivors of childhood cancers. They found that patients who have undergone chest radiation as children suffer from an increased risk of breast cancer as little as 8 years later. All right, so I'm doing all this live just to show how you can explain this to your friends if they're so inclined. And so here we go. Breast Cancer Memorial Sloan Kettering. All right. And I'm on mskcc.org, Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, and it's got the study here on the website. So you can go, this is primary source research. Now you can go to their library or you can go to Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York, but if it's on their website, it's primary source research. It's the same thing. It's from them. You know, assuming they weren't hacked and somebody put up a fake breast cancer study that showed that radiation therapy helps cause breast cancer. And a lot of times these stories link to articles. For example, the Reuters article that this links to is now gone. It's at Reuters.com and it's gone. And a lot of articles like this will be Orwellized, including ones on AIDS. I remember ones on an AIDS patient winning a $2.1 million lawsuit in Worcester, Massachusetts, because she was wrongly diagnosed with AIDS, and then she was put on AIDS drugs, and for 9 years she suffered horrible symptoms. Now, if later on they discovered she didn't have AIDS, and the tests were like, "No, you don't have AIDS," and then yet she was on those AIDS drugs for 9 years, and she was suffering the symptoms. Then what caused those symptoms? What caused those symptoms of AIDS? Well, it was AIDS drugs, right? Because otherwise, she might have taken the drugs for like a month or 2 months or a year or something, and then she might have been like, "Oh, hey, all the symptoms are gone," and maybe she didn't have AIDS. But the AIDS drugs caused the symptoms of AIDS, and I can see the ads out there that are coming back, especially targeting the Black community. What they've done, basically, I talked about this about 3-4 years ago here on CKLN Radio, as your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, a.k.a. Vijay Sarma. Sorry, I should mention that at the beginning, but it's all good. I kind of treat this like an ongoing conversation. And so hopefully you're cool with that. But I remember this years ago, where I knew that they were gonna hypersexualize this, and to do that, they had to play down the story of AIDS here. And so they didn't, and there was no news about it. And for 25 years, really, since it was like a super infectious disease in like the 80s, you know, it's kind of died down. And yet we've had a really hypersexualized culture, and people are constantly looking for new ways to have sex. And there's all this, you know, porn and prostitution, you know, publicly advertised. And yet we barely see it, this super infectious disease. And yet at the same time, we see, you know, billions of dollars being committed by mainly Western governments worldwide to fight AIDS in Africa. And it's like, wait a minute, what makes Africans get AIDS and us not? And the answer is the AIDS drugs. Because otherwise, we'd know a whole bunch more people with AIDS. Like, we'd all know at least 5 people with AIDS or something, based on how sexualized our culture is, how promiscuous, you know, many of us are, and what, you know, the establishment and many activists and so on say AIDS is. And So if you want, you can go to aliveandwell.org for more on this. You can find my interviews with David Crowe by Googling Black Krishna and David C-R-O-W-E, or Christine Maggiore and Robin Scoville. Just Google Black Krishna and Christine M-A-G-G-I-O-R-E, and should pop up there for you on archive.org. And Thabo Mbeki, president of South Africa, you know, kicked the drug companies out, you know, back in like in 2002 or something. He kicked them out years ago. Saying, look, you're just killing us. You just get out of here with those fake drugs. AZT, banned in the 70s for testing on animals because it killed animals, and then recycled in the 80s after people forgot about it as an AIDS drug to make sure people got horrible symptoms, to make sure AIDS is really scary. And so now they're trying to bring it back. And this gets back to communism. All of this gets back to communism. Because under the neo-communist system, everybody's dependent on the government. Everybody. And that means you don't mess with the government. And that means the government goes crazy on you. And even the government, based on its model, it just needs to grow. Because it wants more money. It wants bigger departments. It wants to do more stuff. And the corporations that control government, you know, use that phenomena. So, how does this relate to this? Well, this relates to understanding, to what we will tell each other to make sense of the world, and what we will believe from each other is worth looking at. Because you know, I broke down a couple of major things. One is the free speech issue. One is the issue of censorship. In a normal sort of marketplace of ideas, then you know, without you know, serious manipulation like we have in ours, you would have good ideas and bad ideas, and the good ideas would be used to help move us forward, and the bad ideas would be laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, and marginalized through our intelligence. You know, our ability to see that racism is stupid and counterproductive and just makes you, you know, hate people around you and be paranoid about people around you for no good reason. And so, you know, we do that. You know, that's what we do. But in today's neo-communist system, you know, especially where we've been sort of emasculated and made to feel helpless and less capable than we are, a lot of times we'll shrink from you know, we'll shrink from this idea. We'll shrink from the idea of being able to know, you know, or figure out what to think, you know, more appropriately. You know, like that's important, is to understand what's going on when it comes to this. You know, what exactly is happening when we're scared to call BS? How dangerous is that when we're scared to call BS? How dangerous is that when we're scared to call BS for each other? You know, like that's important. That's important. Is that if we don't recognize that we have to call BS for each other and say, hey, yo, slow your roll. Like, instead of just getting poisoned by all these toxins and bisphenol A in water bottles and feminizing women, hyper-feminizing women, shooting really young girls into puberty, 7-year-olds hit puberty, 2-year-olds in China, and some in the U.S. from reports I've read, growing breasts, and experts normalizing this by saying they're concerned. You know, instead of doing that, we got to be concerned. We got to be concerned enough to look for the truth and to share the truth. Because otherwise, in the communist system, all these groups, corporations, you know, institutions, social workers, activist organizations, dependent on some form of government, either some form of government to communicate with, some form of government to, you know, accept the lies from, some form of government to ask to do more. You know, if that's what you're dependent on, then you're going to ignore all the information that can stop people from getting cancer, and you're going to promote all the information that will normalize people getting cancer and normalize a failing system for dealing with cancer, including one that doesn't try to prevent cancer at all and one that doesn't provide drugs that work to cure cancer. So that's the problem. And you're also going to normalize a system where you're afraid to look into these things. We're all afraid to look into these things. And because we're all afraid to challenge the conversation that's our bread and butter. You know, and we're all afraid to, and people know it. People know wherever you work. And that's my problem with a lot of this, the mainstream stuff, is that you know, people would rather, and I'm not saying everybody, but certainly there's this possibility. People would rather I not talk about this so that, you know, some people can either do what they think is right and, you know, or at least have fun participating in an event that's this widely promoted to the point where it's going to be something, you know, that's made hip and made trendy. And they want to wear a pink ribbon, or they want to buy a pink ribbon T-shirt, or they want to feel good about this. They want to feel good about, you know, 3,000 women a year, 3,000 Canadians a year developing breast cancer, as opposed to stopping it. And this is also something that was sold by, you know, our communist infiltration. And when I mean communist, here's something I'll let you know. And David James, by the way, this morning will be with you in spirit. He's off this morning, but he's asked me to find one of his shows and a classic show of his and play that for you. So do stick around for that. But while he's gone, you know, this cat's coming out to play for a minute. And so let me finish off this point. All right. So on breast cancer, because this is important, because these ads are the brainwashing going to come up. What the New World Order did is this. They created different systems to take over the world. They created a Western capitalist free market system, you know, and this is the New World Order, is the colonial powers that be, the British Empire, Anglo-American establishment, secret societies like the Freemasons. Don't believe me? You know, check out the CBC special with Frank Albo on the Winnipeg legislature. Check out our old city hall. Check out the three statues at the police station at Bay and College, three Masonic statues. And check out the Shriners Day Parade, which is a really fun parade. Looked kind of like an old family reunion where people are just wilding out in ancient Babylonian gear. It's like, all right, you guys are taking this really seriously. And so, you know, all these, you know, these groups work together and they control think tanks and institutions. And a lot of these ideas are seeded into our culture. So they created the West to promote, you know, freedom. And they gave America especially a lot of freedom, and that generated a lot of wealth. And that wealth, you know, was used to benefit the people, but was also used to create a giant empire, you know, the American Empire, with a massive army, massive military, troops in, you know, 700 bases in 160 countries around the world, something ridiculous like that, who are not there for no reason. They're there to make sure that people took the American dollar and took the American, you know, quote unquote way of life seriously. And so that was exported. And there was always problems with it. But what they did with the East in the, you know, Oceania versus Eurasia Orwellian way of looking at things is they created the Soviet system as part of the dialectic, you know, Soviet communism. And you heard G. Edward Griffin interviewing Yuri Bezmenov on that earlier in the show. Now, what they've done through the process of trying to use the dialectic thesis, America, antithesis, Soviet Union, Russia, communist China, and so on, is they're trying to create the synthesis in the Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, and then you get them fighting, and through that you produce a third way, and you basically help manage and control the whole process. If you are the New World Order groups behind the scenes, the Freemasons and the think tanks and the Illuminati, and you know, however you want to characterize them. And so what they've done in creating this third way is they've given us freedom, and then they've sold us a bunch of ideas to take our freedom away. And so, you know, this is where we've got to take this sort of thing seriously. And one of those is our freedom of thought, and one of those is our loyalty to ourselves, our families, and our friends. They've tried to replace that with a loyalty to the state and to big organizations and institutions. And so, you know, as they're merging these systems and you know, opening up, you know, free trade deals with China and other countries, regardless of what they do, no talk about human rights anymore. You know, all of this is being normalized. Talk of genocide is being normalized. We can expect, you know, serious, you know, increases in death here from all this, you know, fake cancer nonsense and you know, a worsening global economic depression and more toxins and poisons in our environment and an increasingly violent culture. You know, all these things are working together, and we're not supposed to look for the truth behind it. So there you go. So people today will actually be trained, you know, to say, you know, oh, don't say that, or they can't be true, or everybody has their own opinion. And that's moral relativism. And that's what they tried to create. And Yuri Bezmenov even talked about how the KGB were very interested in yoga in India. And that's one of the reasons he was stationed there, because back in the 1960s, and they got Hollywood's promoted, and Maharishi Mahesh Yogi trained the Beatles, you know, in a lot of this. And to this day, people will defend yoga as the ultimate way to world peace and that type of thing, because they want people to just meditate on their problems. And not even on their problems, just meditate and put out good vibrations. Don't get involved. Don't be a check and balance on the political system, you know, where you live. Don't help, you know, control the people who control the people with guns, you know, because the way, you know, things always break down is they get the people with guns to handle this, you know, and so on. So, you know, and don't stop the people poisoning you, even though you know that your food's poison, your air is poison, water poison, all that. Don't do any of that. You know, you can be a superstar, super good human being, individual, if you just focus on yourself, and if you just meditate, and if you just fantasize about some craziness that may or may not be going on a different, you know, astral plane. And not saying the KGB created this, far from it. This was created in India as part of their mind control, you know, and that's how you got a country with 1 billion people and 800 million poor people, you know, or something like that. Like it's just, and as they get more westernized, as these ideas come over there, as the whole world's culture gets standardized into this modern, not quite capitalist, not quite communist, but definitely socialist and definitely shut up and dance, you know, culture. You know, we're going to see major slippage in all areas that have to do with logic and morality as they try and introduce crazier and crazier ideas. We're still in the destabilization phase. So we're not in the post-world government normalization phase that should happen in a year and a half or so, 2 years, around 2012-ish. And so, you know, we have a chance to break things down quickly and to communicate quickly and to understand our culture in a way that allows us to interpret things quickly. So instead of, you know, having this information age where, you know, they gave us all this technology to brainwash us faster, so we just take it in more. We'd watch more movies. We'd surf more websites. We'd download and listen to even more music. And we wouldn't really have time to process it all. We would just be caught up in the flotsam and jetsam of information that we consciously don't have time to process and subconsciously accumulate to change our reality. Instead of having this happen and to weaken us and to emasculate us and to libido castrate us to make us incapable of saying anything about what's going on. We can see it, we can understand it, but we can't say anything about it because it's designed to make sure we can't. So instead of having this process continue, you know, let's figure out a way instead to figure out the big picture. Figure out what sort of categories this information falls into. Oh, sex sells advertising. You know, why do they want to sell sex? You know what I mean? That's the bigger question. You know, oh, these people say they're you know, trying to fight cancer, but are they trying to prevent it? No? Well, then, you know, who are they and who are the groups that are working with them and supporting them? And is it worth questioning them? And is it worth bouncing some of this information off them to see if they're real or not? And to kind of shake a few things loose, because ultimately that's the best way to do this. Just bug these people with information and then let other people know what their response was. You know, are they genuine? Are they not? You know, that's something that that, you know, we've got to figure out. So on that note, Last little check of the Metro before I shoot you over to some jazz. Classic styles here. Emmy's Closer? Oh, the Closer. Actress Kira Sedgwick poses with the award for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama Series for her work on The Closer last night during the 62nd Primetime Emmy Awards. More coverage on page 14 for a full Emmys recap. Visit metronews.ca. And so there's the lovely Kira Sedgwick here, showing off a very, very well-toned left arm and very attractive for a woman, I think probably in her mid-40s, and holding an Emmy. And so that's nice to see on the cover of the Metro. And above that is Paris. Busted. Paris faces drug charges again. Dish, page 23. So you got Paris Hilton on the cover. Also a very alluring young lady. And then right at the top, Zony, a rare breed. Zebra pony cross turns head. And then Lotto Max, a little ad on the... I guess it's an ad or maybe half story, half ad on the cover. Barking up the provincial tree, dog owners protest inconsistent law. Again, this is the type of stuff they'll get us to work on and take seriously if we don't look into the real deal. And then Tigers take a bite out of Jays. So this is the framing for the main story. Couple of hot girls, weird, genetic, sort of thing with a zebra pony. Dog owners protest, quote, inconsistent law. And Tigers take a bite out of Jays. And that is framing man shot and killed by police. Victim died in Sunnybrook Hospital, 4:07 p.m. 11 Special Investigation Unit officers assigned to the case. 25-year-old Pickering man is dead following a shooting involving a Toronto police officer in the city's East End yesterday. Special Investigations Unit spokesperson Monica Houdon said the incident happened after police called to a TTC bus on Victoria Park Avenue, stopped the bus near Victoria Park Avenue and Biscayne Boulevard north of Eglinton Avenue East around 3:10 p.m. Rayal Jensen Jardine Douglas, who witnesses said came armed with a knife, came out of the bus and had an interaction with the police before he was shot. According to reports from the scene, the man had been involved in a confrontation on Victoria Park number 24 bus before police were called to the scene. Chris Berry was walking his dog at the time of the shooting. Berry lives in Victoria Park Avenue, watched as officers approached the man who had come off the number 24 bus. Berry said police cars had the bus boxed in. Berry said the man would not drop a knife he had in his hand. Then police shot him 3 times. That's when everything got crazy and they dispersed the public. Another witness who did not wish to be identified said she heard the incidents take place behind her apartment and rushed outside when she heard police scream, "Get on the ground." She heard 3 shots ring out after police shouted another warning to a man running off Victoria Park bus. The woman described how the man hit the ground and was shot twice more when he was told to put his hands on his head. The cop shot him 5 times. I'm 1,000% positive of that, she said. Ontario's provincial police watchdog, the Special Investigations Unit, has taken over the investigation. The SIU is called in on all cases of serious injury, death, or sexual assault involving police. So, again, why would the Metro frame this story with all this weirdness, and why is this how they present it to us? You know, and what is the impression that we're supposed to get by this, and what actually happened? And what kind of world are we living in where, you know, the police are taught to do this, you know, and react like that to a guy with a knife? Figure plug him in the leg and stand back. If he's no longer a threat, if he's threatening someone's life, then blow his head off. But if he's no longer threatening anyone's life and he has a knife, then you don't need to kill him. But, you know, there are incidents like this that go on, so we'll see how it plays out. Jail is advised for autistic teens, says mom. Women met with Greg Sorbera, hoping the MPP could help get her son immediately placed in an appropriate treatment facility. 14-year-old son Keith charged with assault. And they're going to create more autistic kids, more violent kids, and a larger prison slave labor population. The head of Toronto's police union said he's not yet endorsing a candidate in the mayoral race, but he stands by the association's right to do so. So we'll see how that plays out. Ontario's barking at provincial law banning pit bulls. Dog owners say breed-specific law is inconsistent. Certain breeds born after 2005 must be put down. Again, I like pit bulls. I like dogs. I like my buddy Brad's pit bull. She's great. But these aren't the big issues that we got to deal with. And on and on and on and on. Zebra pony, rare breed, selling us genetic modification. New Orleans is coming back, Obama declares. 5 years after Hurricane Katrina. You know, they nothing's been done. A year and a half since Barack Obama's been president, and he's still got to go there and proclaim, don't worry, you know, we'll get to you. Again, this is all absolutely insane. On that note, I am out of here. I've stolen enough Mr. James' time while he's away. I'm going to hook you up with 4 hours of his brilliant jazz. A couple of websites to shout out before I go. Just to break things down for you. Hopefully you did enjoy today's show on communism. If you want to see the full interview with G. Edward Griffin and Yuri Bezmenov, then Google Yuri, Bezmenov, and you'll get the whole idea of what the communist plan. That's only one part of our brainwashing. There are other groups out there involved in other parts. So do keep that in mind. And all the terrorism stuff in the news recently, 9/11 was an inside job. Got to remember that as September 11th anniversary hits. But yeah, a couple of websites to check include Infowars.com. Great website for a big breakdown of all of this. Naturalnews.com for the best health information out there. Pass it on. It's before the school year. And so as August ends and we all get our minds right, as things start to pick up again in September, do pass on naturalnews.com. No one will deny its value, and then they can decide how much they want to look at it, especially as more health options are thrown at us, like, you know, the October 3rd CIBC breast cancer run that make no sense when they're not working on prevention as well, when they show no moral consistency. Cuttingthroughthematrix.com, Alan Watts, great work for a big picture overview. HenryMacko.com, MAKOW, for articles on a variety of subjects, including our relationships and how we get along with each other. And on that note, yeah, definitely. I mean, be aware of it. You know, if you're a dude and you give a woman a bit of space in the sidewalk, then she'll appreciate that because she's a little paranoid about just the size difference. And just like if you got a really big, scary looking dude coming towards you and you're a regular sized dude, you move. You know to move. And if he's cool about it, then you'll feel cooler about it. And so that's the gender relations on that tip. But this has all been messed with. We've all been taught to be isolated and independent. And yet we can, you know, help each other out. You know, and you know, as Bob Marley says in this song, you know, he says only the fittest of the fittest shall survive. And when you do have a eugenical elite at the top of this who are subtly killing us in a million ways and isolating and disempowering us to make us easier to control and eventually cull off, then, and I'll have more on that tomorrow, then it helps to be cool with each other so this doesn't happen. And so those are a few websites. Others include whatyouwantabelievein.com. My website, I put on some selected links up there that I really like, and I'm trying to figure out how to approach this mind control thing. I think I got it. I worked on some stuff on the weekend. I think I got this. So hopefully that'll open some doors and just a few simple things that can go viral that can help protect us at this time from increasing attacks by the forces behind globalization on people in our city. And our political system. And so whatyouwantabelievein.com, I recommend. Pressfortruth.ca, I recommend. TorontoTruthSeekers.com, recommend. The Toronto Street News paper out there for the homeless. Conspiracy Culture book and DVD store and conspiracyculture.com. All great places. CanadiansForHealthFreedom.org. Dee Nicholson and her colleagues, great work. Let's not look at this pursuit as trying to scare each other. Because a lot of people mistakenly do that. It's a cheap way of feeling power, you know, just to mess somebody up just because you can, or just to prove what a badass you are by being able to handle it when other people are less capable. Let's actually try and look at this like we're trying to help each other. Like we're trying to say, hey, you know what? Like, so your relationship isn't messed up and that caused you a lot of stress. So your kids aren't messed up and that caused you a lot of stress. So you aren't messed up and that caused you a lot of stress. So the media doesn't mess you up and that caused you a lot of stress. And all that stress weakens your immune system and makes you sick. You know, instead of all that going on, you know, how about this? You know, how about something better? And boom. And help explain things for each other. Not to each other, but for each other, to help each other make more sense of the world and help rebuild that trust in each other that's been eroded, where we defend sort of the biggest ideas we hear promoted by the biggest institutions, as opposed to understanding those institutions are corrupt and we're not totally corrupt yet, so we can trust each other more and by doing so prevent us from being and becoming more corrupt. And that'll do for me, folks. Got some David James jazz up for you next Have a great Monday. Looks to be warm and sunny today. We can definitely enjoy that. And if we go off on the powers that be evil, then we can definitely enjoy that too. Because, hey, it's fun. When you know Ish is messed up and you decide to say something about it, then you feel your power. And in a world where you're disempowered, that's not a bad idea. Peace out.
So you dip so